Genesis, if we could, chapter number 37. Let's begin reading in verse number 1. The Bible says, "And Jacob dwelt in the land wherein his father was a stranger, in the land of Canaan. These are the generations of Jacob. Joseph, being 17 years old, was feeding the flock with his brethren, and the lad was with his sons Bilhad, and with the sons of Zilpha, his father's wife. And Joseph brought to his father their evil report. Now Israel loved Joseph more than all his children, because he was the son of his old age, and he made him a coat of many colors. When his brethren saw that his father loved him more than all his brethren, they hated him and could not speak peaceably unto him. And Joseph dreamed a dream, and he told it to his brethren, and they hated him yet the more. And he said unto them, Hear, I pray you, the dreams which I have dreamed. For behold, we were binding sheaves in the field, and lo, my sheaf arose and also stood upright. And behold, your sheaves stood round about and made obeisance to my sheaves. And his brethren said unto him, Shalt thou indeed reign over us, or shalt thou indeed have dominion over us? And they hated him yet the more for his dreams and for his words. And he dreamed yet another dream, and he told it to his brethren, and said, Behold, I have dreamed a dream more, and behold, the sun and the moon and the 11 stars made obeisance to me. And he told it to his father and to his brethren, and his father rebuked him and said unto him, What is this dream that thou hast dreamed? Shall I and thy mother and thy brethren indeed come to bow down ourselves to thee to the earth? And his brethren envied him, but his father observed the saying." And let's bow for prayer if we could, and ask the Lord's blessing on the reading of his word. Lord, as we come before you, we thank you for the reading of your word. I pray that you would bless it. And Lord, you would use this message and use this passage of scripture to speak to each and every heart here this evening. We're sure thank you for what you do now. And we ask all this in Jesus' name. Amen. Can I tell you, one of the great inventions of my lifetime is the GPS. I don't know about you, but I don't know of anything that I have enjoyed, sometimes hated, more than the GPS. I don't even know the man or the woman that did that, that invented that. If I could see them or meet them, I would probably run up to them, hug their neck, and tell them how much I have appreciated the use of the GPS. The GPS, all you have to do is you can plug in a name of something, or if you've got the address, you can put the address in, and it will take you turn by turn to that place. If there is a detour, if there's a traffic, construction, whatever, it will actually give you an alternate route around that. If you get lost, how many of you have been using the GPS and still got lost and you made a wrong turn? And it will redirect you back to where you need to be, get you right back on track where you need to be. Well, wouldn't it be nice if God gave us all a GPS and told us and gave us instructions on where we are headed in our life? You know, God has a plan and a purpose for everybody's life. God has a purpose for you. God has a plan for you. He's got something specific that he wants you to do. And sometimes he makes that just as clear as it can be, and sometimes it's not so clear. Sometimes we know exactly where we need to be, and sometimes we think to ourselves, I don't have a clue where I'm at or what I'm supposed to be doing. But you know what? God has a plan for our life. Joseph was given a vision. Joseph was given a dream that said, Joseph, one day I'm going to make you to be a great leader. You are going to be able, he didn't tell him, as far as we know, he didn't tell him he was going to be in a palace one day, but he was going to be in leadership. And his brethren and his mom and dad were going to come down, and they were going to get on their knees, and they were going to do obeisance to their son. Now, that, in Old Testament culture here, Bible days, that just did not happen. The older you were, the firstborn, he had all the rights, he had all the privileges. Once mom and dad was off the scene, it was up to the oldest son, and it would go on down from there. And Joseph was the low man on the totem pole, so he really hadn't. I mean, there was really not going to be any way in the world that God was going to be able to do this unless unless he did something supernatural. And we know that, of course, we know what happened in Joseph's life. Now, don't hold your place there, but we're going to be turning to some other passages. But turn over to the Exodus chapter number 50, if you would. And I want to read just a few more verses of Scripture. We saw here the beginning of Joseph's journey. We see here that Joseph had a destination. God had plugged into his GPS that one day he was going to be in leadership. And he was going to direct him and take him in that direction. In Genesis chapter 50, verse number 15, the Bible says, "And when Joseph's brethren saw that their father was dead, they said, Joseph will peradventure hate us and will certainly requite us of all the evil which we did unto him. And they sent a messenger unto Joseph, saying, Thy father did command before he died, saying, So shalt you say unto Joseph, Forgive, I pray thee now, the trespass of thy brethren and their sins, for they did unto the evil. And now we pray thee, forgive the trespass of the servants of the God of thy father. And Joseph wept when they spake unto him. And his brothers also went and fell down before his face. And they said, Behold, we will be thy servants. And Joseph said unto them, Fear not. For, listen to this, for I am in the place of God. In other words, he's saying, I'm exactly where God wants me to be. I've done exactly what God had for me. And Joseph said, Fear not, I'm in the place of God. But as for you, you thought evil against me, but God meant it unto good, to bring to pass, as it is this day, to save much people alive." Listen, Joseph, and I'm just assuming that most of us, we understand, we know the story. Pastor preached on this, hadn't been that long ago, how he went through the life of Joseph here. And we saw all the things that took place in Joseph's life, but yet here he is later on down the road, 13 years later, and God has brought him to the place of prominence there. He's the second most powerful man in the world at this time. And here's his brothers. They're fearful for his life because of what they've done for him. And Joseph is telling them, listen, don't worry about that. Don't fear. You don't have to fear me because I'm exactly where God wants me to be. And listen, God put me here for a reason. Not just so he could put me in the palace, not so I could have an easy life. God says, I put him here that he might preserve life. Listen, God had done something great here. God had done something wonderful. And yet these boys, they didn't see what God was trying to do. Can I tell you that in our life, as we travel down our road, as we're on our journey to where God wants us to be, sometimes, we could title it like this, detoured but not deserted. Sometimes there's detours on the road that God has us on. And you know what? Those detours most of the time are necessary in our life because God's going to use them to do something to help us to be the man or the woman God wants us to be. God uses detours as a part of his design for our lives to develop us, all right? Joseph spent 13 years on a detour, enduring slavery and prison before he made it to Pharaoh's palace. But listen, even though he may have been discouraged at times, even though he didn't understand maybe what was going on at times, you know what? He still had a great faith in God, and he believed that God was going to do exactly what he told him he was going to do. God had given him a vision. God had given him a dream, and he said, this is what's going to happen in your life, Joseph. Can you imagine? You put yourself in Joseph's place. All the times that, when it seemed like as soon as God told him that, everything in his life just started going downhill. He didn't have, really, there was really not any good thing that happened to him in those 13 years. Now, he'd get a little promotion, he'd get a little reprieve sometimes, but you know what? As soon as that happened, it was like God just jerked the rug right out from under his feet again, and there he went. And he's back down in the pit again. And Joseph went through all these difficulties. And I guarantee there were times he got discouraged. There were times he didn't understand. But you know what? He never lost his faith in God. I believe he always kept his eye on God, and God blessed him. And at the end of those 13 years, one day he's in a prison, the next day he's in the palace, and he's in the place that God has got him to be. You know, all through the Bible, there's many examples of how God had detours in the life of people to help develop those people, and really it was a blessing to them because it made them to be better people for Him. Moses was on a detour in the wilderness for 40 years. Those 40 years in the wilderness tending sheep were not a waste, but actually a training ground. Really, we could really say Moses was in training for 80 years, 40 years in Egypt, 40 years in the wilderness, and finally 40 years God used him to lead the children of Israel and to do a great work for him. Paul, if we were to look at his life, you know, Paul was as busy as anybody I know. You read the life of Paul and you see Paul did great things for God. He started churches. He was on missionary journeys. He was going to visit these churches, and everywhere Paul went, there were people getting saved. But you know what? God says, Paul, I've got something better for you. I've got a prison cell reserved for you. And God stopped Paul in his tracks and put him on a detour, put him on a side road, and put him in prison. And you think to yourself, Lord, why would you do that? You know, I thought to myself, Paul being in prison, I could hear what Paul maybe would pray. Paul maybe at times of discouragement, he would pray, God, why would you have me in prison? Lord, if I was out of prison, if I wasn't confined by these bars, Lord, you know I'd be out preaching for you. Lord, if I wasn't in this prison, I could be out and people could be getting saved. Lord, if I wasn't in this prison, I could go down here to another place and I could start a church. Lord, why would you have me in prison? I don't understand. I just don't get it. But you know what? Hold your place there. Turn over to the book of Philippians. I want you to read see with me as we read a passage of scripture in Philippians about what Paul had to say about his time there in prison. Philippians chapter number 1. And we're looking at verse number 12. Philippians 1:12. All right. And the Bible says, this is Paul. He says, but I would you should understand, brethren, that the things which happened unto me have fallen out rather unto the furtherance of the gospel. Here's Paul. Here's what Paul said. Paul says, listen, I want you to understand. Maybe he would say, I didn't understand everything myself, but I want you to understand because God has finally showed me what was going on, what was taking place here. The things that have happened unto me, all these things, being in prison, being in jail, being locked up, being chained to these guards, really what has happened is the gospel has went farther than it ever would have went. Amen. If I'd been out, if I had been free, this would have never happened. That's hard. I'm telling you, that's hard to understand. Verse 13, so that my bonds in Christ are manifest in all the palace and all other places, and many of the brethren in the Lord waxing. You see what he's saying here? He's saying my witness wasn't stopped because I got to witness to everybody I was chained to. I got to witness to all these guards. I got to witness to folks even in the palace here. And not only that, but other people were encouraged to go out and do the same thing. Other people had picked up the mantle because I'm in prison, and they started witnessing to people. And you know what? They got confident by my bonds and are much more bold to speak the word without fear. Listen, because of me being in bonds and in prison here, the word of God wasn't chained up or shackled. It was freed. Amen. And it just went through the whole country here. All right, he said, some indeed preach Christ even of envy and strife, some also of goodwill. The one preach Christ of contention, not sincerity, supposing to add affliction to my bonds, but the other of love, knowing that I am set for the defense of the gospel. What then, notwithstanding, every way, whether in pretense or in truth, Christ is preached, and I therein do rejoice and will rejoice. Paul said, listen. Some of these folks, they think that they're hindering me. Some of these folks think that they're really are adding affliction to me. But Paul says, listen, none of that's true because Christ is being preached. And you know what? That was the whole life of Paul. Paul wanted the gospel of Jesus Christ to be preached. And guess what? That's exactly what was going to happen. And by the way, not only that, we have a lot of the New Testament because Paul was chained up and put into a prison cell, and God was able to use him to write much of the New Testament. Who would have thought prison would be better than freedom? I'm telling you, that's a powerful thought to think about. But freedom prison was better than freedom. Paul was able to do more because he was in prison than had he been out. Number two, I want you to see God uses detours to prepare us for our future. Often, we're simply not ready for what God has for us. We lack maturity. Joseph was only 17 years old, and had God told him he was going to, Joseph, in just a short amount of time, you're going to be a world leader. Can you imagine what that might have done to him? Can you imagine how that could have affected him? I mean, here's just a young man, 17 years of age, and he is destined to be one of the world leaders of his day. 13 years later, he would do that. Well, listen, he wasn't ready for that. He wasn't prepared for that. God was going to have to keep him on detour for 13 more years, and he was going to have to go through so many things to be able to get to where God would be able to trust him, or God would be able to allow him to be the ruler, one of the great rulers of his day. And I tell you, that's a difficult thing to understand. But God knows exactly what's going on. God knows exactly what we have need of. And you know, there's so many, like I said, there's so many things. Can you imagine all the things that, you know, everything that Joseph went through was really a stepping stone to where God wanted him to be. God was trying to take him to another level. And you know, every one of these difficulties was just a stepping stone in that process. God was going to use him, and God did use him in a great and mighty day. All right? God told Joseph that one day he would rule his family, and they would bow down to him, so God made Joseph a slave. You know, isn't it interesting that Joseph was going to be a ruler, but before he could get there, he had to learn what it was going to be like to be a slave. He was going to have to learn what it was going to be like to be put up in prison, to be a common criminal, or thought of as a common criminal, to be put away where nobody cares about you, to be put away where nobody even really thinks about you. You know, you're just in there. You're just a number. You're just a name to somebody. And you're just there to do what they tell you to do. Joseph needed to learn what it was going to be like to be a slave. And God allowed him to do that so that one day he would be able to rule people and rule them in a good and a godly way. The children of Israel, as they come out of the promised land, could have made it to the promised land in a few days. But God took them on the long way to prepare them for when they were going to go in and take the promised land. You know, God knew exactly what those people needed. And he knew that they were not ready for war. He knew that they were not ready to go in and occupy this land. He knew that. And so God says, listen, I'm going to take you on the long way. I could take you in on the short route there, and you'd be there in just a few days. But God says you're not ready for it. You're not ready for it. So he took them on the long way there. And by the way, you know, we found out when they got there, they wasn't ready for it. And they wasn't prepared to go in. And so God allowed them, or God made them to walk in the wilderness for 40 more years before they were able to go in. You know, isn't it exciting to think about? Now, it's not exciting. I'm just going to tell you, it's not exciting to be on a detour. You know, I don't know about you, but when I'm traveling, when I'm on the road, there's a mission. I've got a mission on my mind. Are y'all like that? Hey, I'm leaving point A, and I'm going to arrive at point B, and I've got a certain amount of time. And listen, I'm going to get there if I have to bust a gut to do it. You know, I'm on a mission. I've got a plan that I'm going to do. But you know what? You know, the world that has a lot of times not on the same plan that I'm on. I'll never forget. Hadn't been too long ago. We were went up to preach for Brother Rod Baker, and he's doing a great work up there in West Virginia. And he's got a great church, a great group of people up there. And he wanted me to come up and preach for him. He was under the weather, wasn't feeling good. So I came. Me and my wife were going to go up there. And I said, now, you know, I always ask, how long is it going to take to get there? He said, well, it won't take but just a little over 2 hours, about 2 hours, 15 minutes or so. And he says, you know, it'll be easy, plenty of time. Just come on up Saturday night and, you know, That way you won't have to drive up Sunday morning, which was an awful good thing. That because 2 hours and 15 minutes turned into 4 hours. And I'm just going to tell you, by the time I got there, I was not the happiest guy that's ever been. But, you know, for whatever reason, God allowed me not necessarily to be on a detour. I got to stay on the same road. But I'm going to tell you what, there was a lot of delays on that road. And you know what? Even though we don't always understand, and I'll be the first to say that, and you know, we're not always the most patient, and I'll be the first to say that too. You know, God always has a plan. God's always working His plan. We don't always understand it. We don't always see what God's doing, but I tell you what, we can always trust God to know that He's going to do the right thing. Let me give you the third thing. As we experience detours, sometimes things will get worse before they get better. I tell you, sometimes it seems like that it just couldn't get any worse, and you know, before you know it, it just gets worse. Let me give you some things here that happened to Joseph. First of all, we read here in that passage of Scripture how Joseph's brothers hated him. They hated him. Now, he had a big family, and so he had 11 brothers there. And every one of his brothers hated him. Now, I don't know about you, but that just don't sound like a lot of fun to me. It's bad enough if you had one sibling that hated you, but all 11 of them hate you. And if when they saw him coming, they pointed their finger at him and said, what are we going to do to this guy? What can we do to get back at him? We just hate him. We want to get rid of him. We're going to do something to this guy because we don't want him around us. They hated him. And then the Bible says that they physically threw him in a pit and would have let him die. Their own brother. They're going to pick him up. They're going to throw him. They don't care if he gets hurt or not. And they're going to throw him in a pit. And if he dies, you know, so what? Not a big deal. Then somebody came up with the idea and said, hey, well, here comes some Ishmaelites. Maybe we can sell him and maybe we can make some money. So they sold him into slavery. And then if that wasn't bad enough, as he goes on, he finally gets a little reprieve there. He gets promoted in a house of his master there. He gets promoted and he's over all the household there. And then he's falsely accused of taking advantage of Potiphar's wife. Guess what happens? Throws him right back into prison. Thrown into prison again. He was forgotten by the cupbearer. The cupbearer says, when I leave here, listen, when I get to the palace, listen, I'm going to tell everybody about you, how great you were, and boy, how you've solved my problems and how you helped me. He says, don't you worry about it. I'm not going to forget you. Guess what? He forgot him. He was forgotten by the cupbearer. You know, and all of these things, God was using them, even though, listen, Joseph, no doubt he was discouraged about all this. No doubt he questioned, God, what are you doing? I don't understand. I don't see what you're trying to accomplish here. And yet, he just remained faithful and kept on going for God. And you know what? God was going to use each one of these things to help him to get to the place that he needed to be. All right? Can I just give you some things here real quick that I see here? Problems prove integrity. You know, it's said that when you go through difficulties, you're going through problems in your life. You know, who you really are is going to come out. Problems are going to reveal who you really are, your character. Not what people think about you, but really who you truly are. When you go through difficulties. So problems prove integrity. Our situations didn't create us. They simply reveal who we are. You know, sometimes people go through difficulties, they go through problems, and instead of letting God use that in their life to make them better, or to be a better Christian, or to help them to get closer to God, they'll use that circumstance and they'll say, well, you know what, because this happened, I didn't have any control and I just went into sin. I couldn't help it, man. I just fell into sin. Well, you know, folks, I'm just going to tell you, when we sin, nobody has an excuse. Nobody can come back and say, you know, the reason I sinned was because this happened. You know what? That's just not true. It doesn't matter what your circumstances are. It doesn't matter what has happened. It doesn't matter what your past is. It doesn't matter what so-and-so did or what so-and-so said. The reason you sin is because you chose to sin. You did that. You can't blame that on anybody, or you can't blame it on your circumstances. You can't blame it on your past. Listen, folks, sin is a choice. Don't use circumstances to say, hey, that's the reason I'm doing what I'm doing, or that's the reason I am the way I am. The reason we are the way we are is because, like I said, we chose to do that. All right? So situations don't create us. They simply reveal who we really are. Let me give you another thing. Problems produce dependency on God, or can produce dependency on God. Someone said that the secret to Joseph's power was that he was always conscious of the presence of God. You know, the more I think about Joseph, the more I think about the only way this man could have lived through what he lived through was because he experienced the very presence of God. He knew God was with him and God was doing something in his life. Like I said, he may not have always understood it, but folks, listen, he knew God was doing something in his life. And I tell you, I'm thankful for that thought. You know, and folks, can I just tell you the same thing's true in our own life? We don't always know what God's doing, but folks, listen, if we know that God is with us and God is right by us, folks, listen, there's nothing that we can't accomplish. I always think about one of my favorite passages in all the Bible is when the disciples were out in the middle of the sea. And the Bible says that they were towing and they were rowing. They had towed and rowed all night long, and the Bible says that they were not any closer to land. And then the Bible says not only that, but the wind was contrary unto them. In other words, they were trying to go this way to shore, and the wind would just kept on blowing. The wind just kept on pushing them. Now, if God was in control of the weather, the storm, who was it that was pushing them back away from the shore? It was God. God was using that wind to just keep them out there in the middle of the ocean there, or the middle of that sea. And the Bible says that about the fourth watch of the night, early that morning, they'd been out there all night long, the Lord came walking on the sea. He came walking. He came out there to where they were at. They're out there and they're working for all they've got to try to get to shore. And God's doing everything he can to keep them out away from the shore. And he comes out there to them and he meets them out on the sea. And the Bible says this, that he would have just walked right on by. But they cried out to him. They called out to him. And when they did that, he came to where they were at. You know, God knew exactly where they were at. The Lord knew where they were at. They had not escaped God's eye. While they were out there in the middle of that sea and they were working themselves to death, where was the Lord at? Does anybody remember? Well, the Bible says he alone was on the mountain and he was praying. You know, while Jesus was on the mountain praying for them, they were out in the middle of the sea. You know what? Jesus never lost sight of those disciples. He knew exactly where they were at. His eye was on them. He was praying for them. And you know what? They were as safe as they could be. Amen. Because the Lord was in control of the situation. All right? Problems prepare our hearts for ministry. Problems in our lives make us sensitive to the problems of others. You know, when Joseph was in the prison there and he talked to the baker, he gave him bad news. He talked to the butler, gave him good news. And you know what? Joseph was in prison there and Joseph could have said to himself, you know what? These guys have got problems. I can help them, but I'm not going to. I'm not going to. I don't care. I don't care if they know what's going on in their life or not. Joseph could have turned his back on him. Joseph could have done all kinds of things. But yet, Joseph was in prison and his heart still went out to these men because God was doing something. Even though he didn't know it, but God was going to use that. God was going to do something there that Joseph couldn't have, there's really no way Joseph could have even known what God was going to do. And as he gave the baker the bad news, and you know, he eventually lost his life 3 days later, Joseph gave the butler some good news, and later on it would be that butler that would remember and say, you know what? I remember a man I was in prison with. And I remember that he had a gift that he could interpret dreams. And later on, Pharaoh would have a dream that he could not interpret on his own. And it troubled him so much, he was willing to do anything he could to find an answer. And he got Joseph and brought him up out of the prison. You know, I tell you, it's just amazing how ministry, working with people, you never know when you work with somebody, you never know when you try to help somebody, that one day that's not going to come back to be the best thing that you ever did in your life. Listen, there's times, I'll never forget when we went to Virginia back on our anniversary trip, we were able to go back to the church where, you know, I pastored 25 years ago. And when we walked in the door and we were standing there talking to some people, a young lady came up that I would have never recognized. I didn't know who she was. I had no clue who she was. She came right up to us and she told us, she said, "Do you remember me?" And I said, "Well, no, I don't remember. I'm sorry." You know, she's grown up now. You know, like I said, that's been 25 years ago. Not that long ago, just been a while back. But she came up to us and she said, "You know, you may not remember me, but I got saved here and you baptized me here." And she was still in church, still going on for God. You know, I tell you, you just never know. When God uses you to help somebody, how one day later that may be a blessing, it may be an encouragement, it may be a help to you. Well, let me give you the last thing here. God never forgets where we're at. You know, sometimes, like I said, we're on detour. Sometimes we're off the main road. Sometimes it seems like that we're off track. But you know what? God always knows where we're at. And he never forgets. And he never leaves us alone. Even though Joseph was in prison, God had been working all that time behind the scenes. Listen, Joseph, we have the privilege to be able to look at the life of Joseph. We read the beginning here where God gave him the dream. And then we were able to go to the end of the chapter and we were able to look back and see all the things that happened in his life. And Joseph says, "Listen, I'm in the very place of God here. Listen, God did something great in my life." We were able to see that, but Joseph didn't have that privilege. He lived it. That was his life. He was going through all these things. And so he got to see, he didn't always understand, but he got to see and experience God working in his life throughout all these situations here. And boy, what a great, no doubt that was a great blessing to him. Working behind the scenes, he didn't understand it. The Lord had not forgotten him. Although apparently everyone else had. His brothers forgot about him. Potiphar and his wife forgot about him. Even the butler whose dream he had interpreted forgot about him. But God is always working his plans, even if we can't see it. God is always doing something great. You know, and then here's the last thing. You know, we think about Joseph, and we think about that really Joseph was one of the few men in the Bible that we don't find anything negative that was written about him. Doesn't mean that he was perfect. No, you know, we understand that. We know that. But, you know, when Joseph looks back over his life, he realizes two things. And here is how we can know it without a doubt. Two things. God made him forget all the difficult times he had been through, and he could see how God had been faithful all along. He could see that. He knew that. He understood it because he lived it. He was there. He experienced it. And then you ask the question, well, how do we know that? Well, Joseph had two sons. The first one was Manasseh, and the second one was Ephraim. And both of these names, here's what they mean. Manasseh means forgetfulness, and Ephraim means faithfulness. When Joseph got to the place to where he could look back and he could evaluate what God had done, where God had brought him from, there was two things that stuck out in his mind. God helped him to forget. God made him to forget. Because listen, how many of you go through a difficult time And you think to yourself, how in the world can I live through this? How in the world can I make this? I don't know. I just don't know how I can take another step. And then when you get on the other side and you see how God worked and how God blessed and what God did in your life, you know what? You forget about the hard times. You forget about how bad that was. And you see, listen, even though it was difficult, God worked. And you were able to see and witness the very power of God in your life. Well, that's a great thing. And Joseph said, forgetfulness. And then faithfulness. The Lord was faithful throughout this whole thing, this whole time. Even if I didn't understand, even if I questioned or whatever, God was still faithful. God was still working His plan. And you know what? God did a great work there with a man. He was a man just like any other man. God gave him a task. God gave him a plan for his life. And he was able to complete that. He was able to fulfill what God wanted him to do. You know, folks, listen. Joseph, he's a man just like anybody else. There was nothing supernatural about him. God's got a plan for each and every one of our lives. Folks, listen. God's got a plan for you. And even though he doesn't put it on the GPS for us and tell us turn by turn, folks, listen. I want you to know that if you will follow God's plan for your life, God will be with you every step of the way. He'll never forgive you. He'll never leave you. He'll be there with you. He'll get you through the hard times, and He'll bring you out on the other side, and He'll have you in the place where He wants you, so you'll be able to look like and say like Joseph did, I am in the very place of God.